This is Mythical.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
There have been over 50,000 fast food chains in the course of American history, spread across a quarter of a million locations. But with all that variety and all that heritage, which fast food items are the cream of the crop? Today we ask, what is the best fast food item ever? This is a hot dog as a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Hendizadeh.
And today we are proud to be joined by a very special guest. You might know him as an award-winning television writer for shows like The Simpsons, Portlandia, and Disenchantment. But perhaps more importantly, he's a prolific fast food critic, has been called the nation's foremost authority on fast food. You can follow him on Instagram at ThatBillOakley. Bill Oakley, welcome to A Hot Dog's a Sandwich.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Thanks for coming, Bill.
I'm excited.
Thank you for letting us have you all in our respective bedrooms, which I think is hilarious. Yeah, Bill, so I mean, I don't know if you're sick of hearing about steamed hams at this point in your life, but to me, that is one of the most memorable jokes of all time in The Simpsons. When my brother and I come together to cook hamburgers, we exclusively refer to them as steamed ham. So I'm assuming your interest in fast food is like dated way before you ever started doing the reviews on Instagram.
Yes, my interest in fast food goes back to the 1970s when I was a child and never got to have any. And that's why I'm like this today. Also with video games, same thing. I didn't get to have any video games until I was like 20. So now I want all the video games as well. But the fast food is the thing that I've made into kind of a pastime. Should I say it's not a career because it doesn't pay any money. It's kind of a hobby.
One of those careers where you have to spend money exclusively and don't get anything in return.
I do get a lot of free stuff, but I don't get any money. But that's okay. I'm happy. The free stuff is fine. I can make my money in the TV writing so far, at least so far, so good with that.
Yeah, I think you do well.
Bill, I have to tell you something that's kind of embarrassing. I've never seen an episode of The Simpsons, and I'm sorry.
That's unusual. You don't meet people that have never seen an episode of The Simpsons, especially since it's been on for 31 years now.
Yeah. Give me a good episode to start with, and I'll start.
I would say Homer the Heretic season 4
Got it.
Would be a good way in, or Flaming Moe's season 3. Somebody actually made me asked me to write a list of Simpsons episodes for people who had never seen The Simpsons, and if you Google it, I think you'll find my suggestions.
I'm going to Google it. Thank you.
Nicole, I'm so excited for your journey.
Me too.
That should be the second podcast, just an adult woman watching The Simpsons for the first time ever. I suppose we should talk about the thing that we came here to talk about, which is what is the greatest fast food of all time? I figured we would all three kind of list it and then give each other turns to give our emotional diatribe about why it is the greatest.
All right.
Take it away, Josh.
I thought long and hard about this, right? There's a lot of routes you could have gone. The Big Mac is the most popular fast food item in America. It was one of the earliest innovations in McDonald's. You could have talked about a lot of Taco Bell items, the Doritos Locos Taco, the Crunchwrap Supreme. Could have talked about the Popeyes chicken sandwich, which is the neo-revolution of premium chicken in the game, but I wanted to take it back a little bit to the Popeyes loaded wrap. It was on Popeyes value menu for a short run of time. It is no longer available. It was a single Popeyes fried chicken tender inside of a warm cheddar tortilla with a scoop of their red beans and rice. It cost exactly $1, and you could get 6 at a time served with their Louisiana hot sauce. The thing that gets me about Popeyes chicken sandwich, it is a perfectly fine and good chicken sandwich. It is better than every other chicken sandwich in the fast food game, I believe. But most people were just sleeping on Popeyes for a long time. Popeyes has always had great chicken, and they've always done great things with that great chicken. It did not need brioche to be validated as the most perfect crispy, juicy brined fast chicken in the game. I think that their infusion of the red beans and rice inside the burrito gave it this beautiful, like, soul food Mexican fusion that is endemic to the Los Angeles identity. And ergo cogito ergo sum, the Popeyes loaded chicken wrap is the greatest fast food item of all time.
Well, wow.
I'm proud of you. That was really, really, really deep.
I've been waiting to get that off my chest for a long time. No one will listen to me in the real life until you get on a podcast, and then they have to.
I've never even heard of that item, so it's a revelation, and I hope that they bring it back, or we can at least approximate it at home somehow.
If only any of us had any sort of influence in the fast food world, we could maybe try and make a difference.
Amazing.
I'm curious. We'll save Bill for last. Nicole, what you got?
Okay, I'm going to go with something we all know, we all love, we all respect, and all have enjoyed. It is the four-piece chicken McNugget from McDonald's. The bell, the boot, the ball and the bone. You know what I'm talking about, guys? Those four beautiful shapes. Why I love chicken nuggets so much. Number one, I believe that it is a perfectly seasoned piece of manufactured chicken. I think the flavors are beautiful. They are complex, but not too complex, just complex enough. And I think that they're just beautifully soft and wonderfully crispy on the outside. I think the breading on the outside is amazing. One of my favorite textures in the world is a McDonald's chicken nugget. They also taste like nostalgia because I used to go to a dance class right next to a McDonald's. And after my 3-hour dance class, my mom would get me a Happy Meal because I did such a good job at dance class. And another reason is that it's just the perfect vehicle for all of the dipping sauces at McDonald's. I think it's just the perfect fast food item because it just doesn't need an introduction. It's just perfect the way it is. It's four pieces of beautifully cooked chicken, beautifully coated, fried to perfection. And yeah, that's pretty much it, man.
Why four?
Because that's, it's the perfect amount. I don't need 10. I don't need 40.
It's the perfect amount for a child. It's like 160 calories or whatever. I mean,
Bill,
like,
I'm a child on the inside. It feeds the child inside.
I mean, that's good. Yeah, I would say the 20. I mean, for me, it would be the 20, I guess, if I was going to have to pick a size.
Well, that's your choice, Bill.
Okay. All right.
All right, Bill, what you got?
I have my list of contenders, and then I'll tell you what the winner is. Okay, so this is good. This is a long list. Okay, the Popeye's chicken sandwich, the Burger King Whopper, fries from McDonald's, the Chick-fil-A sandwich, Popeye's boneless wings, the Quarter Pounder Deluxe from McDonald's, the Arby's Beef and Cheddar sandwich, the McDonald's cheeseburger, the cheeseburger from Five Guys, the Wendy's Frosty, McDonald's Big Mac, the Panda Express Orange Chicken, the In-N-Out Double Double, the cookies from Wendy's, the Sonic Chili Cheese Tots, the Sonic Bacon Cheeseburger Toaster, Arby's Curly Fries, a Freddy's Steak Burger, Shack Burger from Shake Shack, Jack in the Box Tacos, McDonald's Apple Pie, Carl's Jr. Southwest Chicken Sandwich, White Castle Cheeseburger, Del Taco Double Del Cheeseburger, Wendy's Sauce and Bacon Cheeseburger, the Queso from Qdoba, the Turkey and Stuffing Panini from Starbucks, the Hot Dog at Costco's Food Court, the Meatball Sub from Subway, and the Pulled Pork Sandwich from Dickie's. Okay? Those are the contenders.
Oh, my God.
I don't think my full list has ever been revealed to the public, but that is the full list.
Bill, I am color me impressed.
Costco.
I had it written down, and I thought I'd drag it out for this event. My list of the greatest fast food items of all time, and you know, some are desserts and some are sides and whatnot. But you already stepped on my point earlier by listing this. I would say the Big Mac, not the Big Mac, but a Big Mac-ish cheeseburger, mm-hmm. is the thing. And it's like, here's the thing: like, I would not pick the McDonald's Big Mac as the best one. And we're talking about a double-decker cheeseburger.
Yeah.
With a special sauce. I would say the In-N-Out Double-Double would qualify there. But honestly, I prefer the one from Big Boy. If you've ever been to Big Boy, it was invented at Big Boy. And the Big Boy in Burbank is, I guess, the actual location where it was invented. And apparently McDonald's and In-N-Out kind of stole the idea from Big Boy. And that's why the sandwich was initially called the Big Boy. I've done a lot of research on this topic. In any case, that one is of all the double-decker cheeseburgers with special sauce that I've ever had. That is the finest one. There you go.
That is blowing my mind. What makes the Bob's Big Boy double-decker burger so much better than, say, like a McDonald's or an In-N-Out? What is the factor that has pushed it over the top for you?
It's a little bigger, and the sauce is somewhat different. The sauce is kind of a ketchupy relish type thing. It doesn't have like a mayonnaise-y element in it. And the flavors just like lit up. The flavors lit up my mouth. And it could just be that I've had so many of those other ones that I take them for granted now. But that was the one, like, I still remember that one and I reminisce about it, whereas I don't do that quite so much about the Big Mac or the In-N-Out Double Double. Those are great too, though.
We were talking about the Big Mac recently, and we were talking about how much we love its diminutive size. And when I was a kid growing up, the Big Mac was this thing where it was like, oh my God, this is such an adult cheeseburger. I could never fathom eating something as large as the Big Mac, because the commercials are shot with it all, like, yeah, you know, low angle and in a hero stance. And then I now eating them as an adult, it's like, these are like a snack size cheeseburger. I can throw them back three at a time. The patties are literally 1/10 of a pound, you know, but to me, it's the perfect ratio. Like, you don't want to focus on the beef for a fast food burger, to me, because it's always going to be crap.
I agree with you so wholeheartedly. And we all got to learn exactly how perfect the Big Mac was when they did those different versions of it last year and the year before, when they had the Grand Mac, the double, they remember that? And they had the Mini Mac, which was just like a Big Mac with one patty, which was not that great. And they had that Grand Mac, which was the Big Mac with the quarter pounder patties, which was too big, and the proportions were all off. And I think, just to agree with you wholeheartedly, the actual original one is far superior to every other incarnation of it at McDonald's.
Yeah, completely. I remember when Carl's Jr. did their Big Mac ripoff, the Big Carl, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yeah, that was pretty good, I thought. But they brought it back a couple times, and one of the times it was not so good.
Yeah, Carl's Jr. has always been very hit or miss for me. I love the flame broiled aspect to it. And being in Southern California and also going through puberty in like the mid-2000s, the commercials stuck with me in a way that I wish they wouldn't have. But the Big Carl, I used to actually, they were 2 for $3, and that was about 2,000 calories and 108 grams of protein. And so as a large beefy boy trying to beef up in the gym, I would actually eat them inside a 24-hour fitness sauna.
No way.
Which, looking back, is the most disgusting thing possible. How disrespectful to the other people. So I was just steaming, you know, Big Carl's inside of a public gym sauna
no
for a while.
No way.
Has a special place in my heart.
You did not Absolutely. Do that. No respect for the other patrons in the sauna.
So the legend of the creation of the Big Mac, right, is that it was, I believe, in Pittsburgh, and it was like a rogue franchisee who decided that steelworkers, you know, wanted to have a more hearty lunch, and so they needed to like triple stack these patties, and he whipped up the sauce off the top of his head. That's like the kind of canon legend on how it's created, right?
I feel like I've heard that, but I think that everything I have read seems to indicate that people just took the idea from Bob's Big Boy. But you know, I'm sure all those places have their own origin stories that they don't, nobody wants to admit that they just stole it. But like, that was like, as far as I can tell, it was the originator of this genre of burger.
Is the Bob's Big Boy sauce similar to the Apple Pan sauce by any chance? Have you ever had the Apple Pan?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is similar, actually.
I was just thinking about it, and I love that burger so much, and I feel like I wouldn't consider it fast food, but I think it's such a good burger, and anyone that comes to LA should definitely try an Apple Pan burger, specifically the Hickory burgers, like my jam.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. We used to get those all the time at The Simpsons. That was like the thing. Also, people would also order pie. People sometimes would order a whole pie and put it in the refrigerator and just keep eating pieces of it all afternoon long. Everybody got really fat there. I lost 65 pounds after I left The Simpsons.
That's incredible. Are there any other like legendary food stories in the writer's room? Like, was everybody kind of on the same page with the type of food that you guys ate?
No. I mean, there was a lot of debate about like, well, remember, this was the 90s, first of all. I'm talking about The Simpsons when I worked there. The lunch, you know, was always a big deal because it's such a monotonous type of work. Also, this was back before people had cell phones, so there was no distractions. You know, you're sitting in that room all day long with the same 8 people, and the only entertainment you have is the lunch and sometimes the dinner if you stay there. So it takes on this outsized importance. And the problem is people never agree about where to go to lunch because some people want to eat healthy and some people don't want to eat healthy and some people want to have food that they can nibble on all day and blah, 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 blah. So yes, there was a lot of debate about that. And a lot of times we just go to places that were close, like at the Apple Pan or Islands, you know, or just the Fox Commissary. but a lot of times people would want something that was a little more healthy. That was when Cuckoo Roo was around, if you remember Cuckoo Roo.
Bill, you just dropped the hammer.
We love Cuckoo Roo. I tweeted about Cuckoo Roo like a month ago because I missed it so much. It was one of my favorite fast food places. R.I.P.
Cuckoo
Roo.
It's so good. It was so good. Like, but I found there's a couple of recipes online. You know, you can make your homemade Cuckoo Roo and it works really well. I've made a couple, and I highly recommend those recipes. Like, can you marinate like in pineapple juice and stuff? It's great.
Oh, fantastic. Good to know.
That's so funny. I grew up eating kukuru from my West LA Jewish family. Like, every Shabbat, we just got a giant tray of kukuru. So for us, that is such a hilarious throwback reference that I feel like not many people would understand, but me and Nicole are right there with you.
The weird thing is, like, totally vanished. Like, it was such a thing. There were so many of them, and it was so ubiquitous in the 90s in LA, and then it just vanished, and now it seems like a relic. It's a, you know, as you said, it's an antique vintage reference, but at the time it seemed like it was just a normal thing. I thought they were everywhere. Anyway, so we would get food. So it would take on outsized importance, and sometimes at night we would also, if you had to stay for dinner, then you'd be mad and you'd want to order a lot of food to cost the show a lot of money. Is the problem. You know, I'll just tell you that now they don't have this anymore. They have a limit. There's a budget, and you can't order anything that's more than $12 or something like that. I heard, but at the time, in the 90s, there was nobody paying attention, and we would just order. The sky's the limit. And people would order stuff and take it home. Like I would order several shrimp cocktails and bring them home and eat them later, or share them with people. And also, like, at one time I ordered caviar, and that got around. And, like, that Bill Oakley was the guy who ordered caviar at the Simpsons for dinner. And, like, people, you know, in eight talent agencies were talking about it. That became my claim to fame. But this was also at a time, let me say, that Fox was being really annoying. Like, The Simpsons was the number one show on Fox. Mm-hmm. And, like, we were bringing a ton of money for them, and they never acknowledged us. Like, we didn't get along with the network, let me say that, or the 20th Century Fox Studios. So at the time, we were just like, we want to cost them as much money as possible. Now, that was a different time, and these days, you can't order more than a $12 sandwich. So, like, things have changed. Anyway, that's my story about the Simpsons writers' room.
I remember so many jokes that I assumed there was some internal things that I didn't understand as, like, a 10-year-old child watching The Simpsons, where you guys were just dogging on Fox, like, very openly all the time. How did those, like, get through?
That was the miracle of The Simpsons, is that they didn't get to have any input. Like, it's one of the few times in the history of television where the network wasn't allowed to have any input. This is because the network, which is starting. The network was just invented in 1988, 89, right? Mm-hmm. And when they wanted James Brooks and Matt Green to, they had those were shorts on Tracy Ullman. When they turned into a series, James L. Brooks, who had all these Academy Awards and had created Mary Tyler Moore and Taxi, was able to just say, okay, we'll do the show, but you can't have any input. You can't come to the table readings of the script. You can't see the scripts. We'll deliver you a final show, and you have to broadcast it. And they agreed to that.
Wow.
And it was a miracle. And that's how we got away with everything. We did have to go through the censor. But we weren't trying to push the envelope in terms of, like, language or nudity anyway. So the censor, it wasn't a big issue. But at the time, they had no input at all. And maybe that's why they ignored us so much, which is fine. You know, whatever. we got caviar in exchange.
We don't exactly have the type of budget that The Simpsons would have at Mythical, but me and Nicole, we've both pocketed a fair amount of caviar. It would have gone to waste.
Of course.
Caviar waste is a big problem in America. We would have been, I remember making a bologna and caviar sandwich for lunch one day in the office, and I was like, this is my life now.
Yeah.
This is happening.
Lots of exotic meats get to go back home to me, so got an antelope steak in the freezer. Some antelope, yeah.
You better be chicken frying that antelope steak.
I will chicken fry the antelope steak and let you know how it is.
So what's it like coming from such a, like, vaunted network background to now, like, jumping into the digital media game with Instagram reviews?
Well, like I said, this doesn't pay any money. So, like, it's like the stakes are low.
The main difference.
Well, the stakes are, that's the thing about most entertainment ventures, is that you can have all the creative freedom you want if you don't want any money. If you don't need any money. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're asking someone else for money, you got to do what they say, and you got to take their notes and their input, which is why doing these things for Instagram is so delightful to me, because I can come up with an idea, and 2 hours later, I've shot the video, and it's out there in public, and it doesn't have to go through the lawyers. It doesn't have to go through the network executives giving me notes. It doesn't have to have whatever. It's entirely my creation. So I really do enjoy it quite a bit, and I enjoy putting out that stuff because it's so different than my regular work, which has to go through these, everything takes 18 months. It's got to go through 90 lawyers. You got to go through several layers of different executives and notes and things. If you're lucky, they're very good. But sometimes in the past, they haven't been. So it's a very different world. But like I said, it doesn't pay any money. So that's the trade-off. And that's the eternal trade-off for all kind of creative work. You can write all the movie scripts you want. But they're not going to go anywhere. If you want any money for them, you're going to have to take someone else's notes.
That makes sense.
You guys know, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny because we're in the digital space. You know, obviously we make YouTube shows, but you know, we have a bit of a bigger company than a lot of places do. So I think we really like strike a fine balance where we can, market as much caviar and antelope steaks as we want with still having a little bit of creative freedom and enough money to afford this beautiful bedroom. And Nicole is a walk-in closet. We're thriving.
It's a converted walk-in closet.
It sounds to me like that's like that. That would be an ideal mixture of the two. Is to have your own TV show. Have a very, because you guys are already doing this. Have a big show on YouTube, and then you don't have to take anybody's notes, and you're also making money. That's amazing.
It's been pretty chill. One thing that's super apparent with your Instagram fast food reviews is like truly how much you do enjoy it. And one thing you can tell how you enjoy it is because you are frequent. Like you do it a lot. A lot of people will try and start a creative venture and then they'll peter out after like a month or two of doing it. But like, it seems like you're really doing this from like, I don't know if altruism is the correct word, but it seems like it's coming from a very genuine place.
It is. And thank you. Like it has slowed down obviously due to the pandemic. Because there haven't been nearly as many new fast food items. Mm-hmm. And there's also been the issue of like, you know, there's like the worker safety and the health and all that stuff. So I haven't been doing as many. I've actually done more homemade things, which I do. I also do some kind of homemade things. Like my most recent one was that Limburger cheese one that I did a couple weeks ago. And that was all done at home. But I'm going to go back out and start doing the fast food ones pretty soon. Yes. To answer your question, yes, it is entirely a labor of love. It's always because I want to try these. I don't usually do things I don't want to try. I want to try this, and then I kind of want to bloviate about it and give you my opinion of it as well.
Bill, I wanted to ask, we just talked about what the best fast food item is of all time. What do you think is the worst?
Okay. The worst fast food. Okay, this is good. I'm glad you asked this question.
Thank you. The worst
fast food item I've had that I can remember is the tacos from Burger King. And that was about 2 years ago. If you follow me on Twitter or Instagram, you'll know that I don't like Burger King. But I still like the Whopper quite a bit, but they have all these other crazy things that they keep every 2 months. There's some new thing that's all about the freaking viral videos and the Twitter, and they're all like, all they care about is putting out these hip ads and then getting you in this restaurant to serve you this substandard food. And specifically the tacos were the worst of the worst, because it's clear to me that what happened was that some company made, Jack in the Box tacos. They're similar to Jack in the Box tacos. And some company was like, we got 70 warehouses filled with these crappy tacos. Will you take them off our hand? And Burger King was like, yes. And then they like create this viral campaign, which is all cool. And they got people dancing in the middle of the street at night with the Burger King to eat these cool tacos. And the tacos suck. The funny thing is that they're like, the Jack in the Box tacos, right?
Sure. Absolutely.
Like the Jack in the Box tacos are pretty good, I think. But this was the same kind of thing where they got, apparently somebody who worked there told me, like, they get them frozen and you dump them right in the fryer. And then when they're done frying, you got to pry them open and stuff in the lettuce and the taco sauce, right? So the ones I got were shattered. They were like, because the people who had cooked them obviously didn't care or didn't know what they were doing. Mm-hmm. It was literally that you unwrap the wrapper and it was a whole bunch of broken pieces of taco with like a pile of meat. And it was like, they were like Burger King. I mean, they're like Jack in the Box ones that were horribly mutilated. It's rare that I don't finish a fast food item. Even if I don't like it, I still kind of like it enough to finish it.
Me too.
I guess that's the magic of fast food. But in this case, I just couldn't stop laughing when I was eating it.
How about you, Josh? I'm wondering what's your like least favorite, worst gag-worthy item?
Yeah, I think so many of the worst items in fast food history come from, like Bill said, this stupid viral type marketing campaign from someone trying to appeal to quote unquote millennial viewers. I use quote unquote because people have no idea what that word actually means or how to define it. But for me, it is Carl's Jr.'s Most American Burger.
Ooh. I've never heard of that. Remember this? No, I've never heard of it.
No. Oh, wait, I do remember that.
Yeah, it had a split hot dog on top, which again, like, a split hot dog and a burger. If you are a diner in LA, like if you go to, I don't know, like, you know, Okie Dog or even something like Fat Sal's. That's like a fun kind of thing that you can do. It's not my personal taste, but this is Carl's Jr. They have no hot dog infrastructure built in. Like Burger King didn't have taco infrastructure. Jack in the Box has been frying tacos for like 40 damn years. That's why when they fry them, they're able to pry them open because they're not fully crispy on the bottom. They're kind of like steamed and wet. So the tortilla is pliable. It's these little things with infrastructure that need, you know, to keep the fast food wheels moving. That's what they're entirely built on. And so they would just split a hot dog open. They were supposed to grill it. Mine didn't have any grill marks on it, and it was just cold. So I think someone took it out of the package and slapped it on the burger. And then there were a handful of Lay's potato chips on there. One of the reasons I love fast food burgers is because they're wrapped together, and then everything kind of steams inside of itself.
Yeah.
You know, and like the ketchup's always piping hot in a way that I love. And so there's just these like lettuce steamed wet chips, a cold hot dog on just a gray Carl's Jr. burger. And it was just like the least well thought out item in history.
Ugh, that sounds horrible. But there's a place in West LA called Marty's Hamburger Stand. Have you ever had Marty's? They make the best.
Never been to Marty's.
They make the best like split hot dog burger I've ever had in my life. Highly recommended.
Wow. So,
sorry, had to jump in there.
I gotta check it out. Wait, Nicole, what's yours?
Okay, two words: chicken fries. Horrific.
Yes, yes.
Was that also Burger King?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know what kind of witch created those, but they are horrific. They're dry, they're chalky, they're weirdly like spicy and smoky. They just don't do it for me in any way, shape, or form. I've tried it maybe like three times just to like give it an honest go. You know, I was like, maybe the one here made it a little bit drier, or maybe someone here made it a little bit spicy. It was just disgusting every single time I've tried it. Just a completely disgusting mess. Sorry, Burger King, but didn't like it.
That, guys, they are like, I just want to say one more thing about Burger King.
Of course.
Yes, they're all about this viral thing. They always. This is what drives me crazy. Is like they're like Burger King is introducing this new blank, and it's sometimes it's like the Halloween burger or whatever. Let's just say that's the example, right? And you see 1,000 articles online about it, and it's all over Twitter. Mm-hmm. And then like you go to the thing, and it says it's available at 12 locations on one day, which is like what the. Why is anybody publicizing this? It's absurd because like if every location was going to get it, that's fine. You know, maybe that's a bit more of an event. But most of the ones they do that have these viral things are only available at like 10 stores in the whole country for one day. And it just seems like it's just fraud. I say it's fraud.
I came to YouTube from, you know, the digital publishing world. So I used to write for online magazines, blogs, all that. And so I was the ass who was writing like, Burger King's new Flamin' Hot Mac and Cheetos available for blah, 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 because, you know, you'll get 50,000 people who click on the article, and then approximately 9 of them actually go to one of the 12 locations that serves it. And so, like, the articles are doing no one any favors except for keeping Burger King in the headlines. Maybe it has some SEO thing backing it. But I agree, Burger King was the king of doing these crappy items, and their mac and Cheetos, to me, were the worst. So were their pretzel chicken fries, because they essentially cut a nugget in half and then added twice the breading. And it was trash, but their mac and Cheetos were the absolute worst. And they stole them from blogger The Vulgar Chef, who came out with a mac and cheese crusted Cheeto fries recipe on his YouTube channel. And I believe Burger King stole them. That is my conspiracy theory for the day.
I totally believe it.
Yeah, we need to take down the king.
Yeah,
we're a democratic country. We've elected Mayor McCheese. All right, we've talked about what the best fast food item is, but I'm curious. One more grand overarching question. Mm-hmm. If you had to eat one fast food item for the rest of your life, what would it be? Would it be different? Every single day, every meal, one fast food item.
I know the answer to this one.
Take it away, Bill.
I do too.
It would be McDonald's cheeseburgers. I could eat an infinite amount of McDonald's cheeseburgers. One time I think I got 10 just to see, and I still wanted more after. I don't know what it is about that, but like, I never get tired of them. I don't even mind them heated up, you know, because I recently read this thing about how you can just keep them in the wrapper and you can microwave them for 30 seconds and they're like 80% as good. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing that too. But like, there's no limit to the amount of McDonald's cheeseburgers I could eat. And I could eat one every, like, you know, you heard about that guy who ate a Big Mac every day of his life for like 45 years, right? I can easily see that. Big Mac is good, but I think I'd prefer, I wouldn't get tired of the cheeseburgers and I might get tired of the Big Mac. That's my statement. Thank you.
Amen. Back in the day when I was growing up, McDonald's had, I believe, 29-cent hamburger Saturdays, 39-cent cheeseburger Sundays, limit 10 per customer. But it was me, my dad, and my brother. And my dad would, you know, hand me and my brother like $4 each. We would go in different lines. And so we would end up with a freezer full of 60 McDonald's burgers to eat throughout the week for three people. And you froze them.
Did they come back to life okay after you froze them?
They did. You learned quickly that you had to separate the bun from the patty, and you had to microwave the patty for like 35 seconds. They're so thin, so they like come out, you know, pretty evenly no matter what. Uh-huh. And then you put it back inside the bun, wrap it, microwave that for 15 seconds, then let it rest for a minute. And so like ever since I was a kid, and I would doctor them up because I was a little culinarian, you know, so I'd take some like Thai sweet chili sauce from the 99-cent store, put that on a McDonald's burger. So I totally get the nostalgia, and it is a perfectly balanced little bite of food. They almost eat like dumplings to me, like little
Oh yeah, they are. That's a good point.
Nicole, what's your answer?
It's going to be an In-N-Out animal style cheeseburger, but just a single, not the double-double. I just love In-N-Out so much, and I could eat it every day if I really, really set my mind to it. I wouldn't feel good. I'd probably like be very, very sick, but I just love everything about In-N-Out. I think their produce is the best produce out of any fast food chain I've ever had in my life. Their tomatoes are beautiful, truly delicious tomato. I'm a big fan of In-N-Out.
What's on the animal style? Animal style is the grilled onions and mustard on
mustard
it, right?
Grilled patty, and extra sauce.
Okay, I've never had that. Believe it or not,
Bill, you must.
I'm dying to.
And pickles. In-N-Out doesn't add pickles to their standard burger, but they do with animal style, which is why I'm not a big fan. I love pickles generally, but for me, I go regular on my In-N-Out burgers. I do onions two ways, though.
Oh, that's, yeah.
As a Southern California person, it's like a part of your identity, what your In-N-Out order is.
Yeah, I know mine by heart.
The thing with that places like that is I go so rarely. I get to go to In-N-Out so rarely that I don't want to miss my chance to have the regular thing that I love. So I'm always like, should I get something weird? Should I experiment? But no, then I just stick to the regular order of the bubble because I don't want to miss my chance to have the thing that I came there for.
That's our privilege as Southern Californians, and we accept that. On my list, I had animal style fries were up there on my potential top, along with Wiener Schnitzel chili dogs, which I believe are criminally underrated, the Costco chicken bake, and also the El Pollo Loco three-piece meal, which is my every single day I would eat that. I like to keep a little bit fit. Sports have always been important to me in my life. And so every single day I would eat rice, black beans, and a side salad with the El Pollo Loco three-piece chicken. I think El Pollo Loco is so underrated, and they are authentically Mexican, which blows a lot of people's mind. They started in Mexico and then moved to, I think it's on Alvarado is the original LA location, and now they've taken America by storm. Their grilled chicken is fantastic. It is, dare I say, better than the Cuckoo Roo. And so I could eat that every single day.
It is really good. And it's healthy, too. Like, the meal you're describing is actually one of the healthiest possible fast food meals.
Yeah, that's a very sustainable meal, Josh.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm going long game, like for the apocalypse, like when there's only one. And also, I think they've had the best COVID stay-at-home commercials, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, whatever you need, El Pollo Loco got you. All right, Nicole, Bill, we've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the Twitterverse. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casseroles.
All right, first up, we got @Alexandre. Mayonnaise goes in spicy ramen. Fight me. Nah, dude, that's a pasta salad. That sounds delicious to me.
I actually had some spicy ramen that came with a little mayonnaise packet inside. And it was delicious.
What?
Yeah. I got it sent to my house. Someone found my address and sent me ramen. And it was actually a spicy mee goreng. And it had all the little spicy packets and stuff. And it had a little mayonnaise packet. And it was really good. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Bill, do you have any strong instant noodle opinions?
No, I almost never have instant noodles. And the thing is, actually, that sounded really gross to me until you said pasta salad. And I was like, oh, I like pasta salad. So it's true. It's all about my preconceived notions that have to be broken down. Like, I can see it being totally good.
That's what this podcast is about.
That's what the show is all about.
Great.
This podcast is mostly about us yelling about nonsense, talking about the idea of an infinity lasagna, but also breaking down preconceived notions.
Roblob says horseradish is for people with working taste buds. I'm okay with horseradish, but I only like it on my Arby's roast beef sandwiches because Arby's is my dad's favorite restaurant. So I was conditioned to love horseradish at a very young age. So I agree. I love horseradish.
Yeah, I'm down with horseradish, especially at its importance on the Pesach table growing up. You learn to love horseradish. Me and my brother, we would have competitions during Passover to see who could eat the most horseradish in one bite. But no, I dig it.
I love horseradish. I'm in agreement with you. I like it prepared, like I like in the Arby's sauce, and I like it regular. And in fact, that's like some guy who lives nearby offered me a whole bunch of horseradish plants, and I'm going to go pick them up and I'm going to grow them and make my own horseradish.
Awesome.
That's what I decided I'm going to do for this summer.
very cool.
I do like it. Okay, so back to what you asked. The best fast food condiment?
Yeah, or dipping sauce, condiment, sauce, whatever.
Buffalo sauce.
From where?
I don't...
Like I'm talking like individual restaurant.
Oh, you put me on the spot. I can't do that, man. I need some preparation time for this.
It's tricky because there are so many hundreds of them. And even like McDonald's, like, I can't even keep track of the 10 or 12 that McDonald's has, let alone like the 20 that Popeyes has. I will tell you that the one that springs to mind most recently was the Popeyes Bash sauce from their boneless wing bash like 2 years ago, which is kind of like a spicy, creamy kind of buffalo type sauce. But it was better than all the rest.
I think McDonald's has created the perfect spicy honey mustard in the world. It's one of those things like I love McDonald's McNuggets. I think there's also a theory that McDonald's got the idea for McNuggets from restaurants like Panda Express, like Chinese American restaurants. They just took this idea of like deep frying, especially it's a wet batter. So McDonald's is literally like tempura frying their nuggets. And so they had this idea that was stole from like these Chinese American restaurants, which I find very fascinating. So I'm also a huge McNugget fan, and especially with their honey mustard, it is like spicy. It's deep and brown. It seems elevated for what McDonald's serves. I'm a big fan. Popeye's blackened ranch is also good.
Did you have 2 years ago the McDonald's sweet and spicy honey barbecue tenders? I believe that was the best chicken dish ever served at McDonald's. You know what I'm talking about? They were not were not nuggets. They were like these long tenders, and they were with this. They had this sauce that was absolutely delicious.
It was good,
but it was a limited time offering.
It's funny. I actually wrote this whole thing. There was a period where every single fast food chain was doing their different chicken tenders at a time. Like Carl's Jr. started doing their hand dip tenders, which is like their big thing. McDonald's had them. Burger King brought back their tenders, and I had this wacky theory that it was because of cattle herd shortage and climate change. Beef prices were soaring. Chicken prices were dropping. That was also when Burger King brought back the Yumbo hot ham and cheese.
I remember that. I keep thinking about the name Yumbo pops into my head every couple of days. And I'm like, why am I thinking about this?
Did you ever have it?
No. Is it good?
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's a perfect hot ham and cheese sandwich, which is a good place to talk about. You have an eponymous
sandwich,
which is my favorite term in the history of terms in Portland right now. Just like tell me about, you know, how you got a sandwich named after you.
I invented the sandwich, to be honest, and it wasn't like it's not like the world's most original sandwich. It's just like I like to monkey around with stuff at home, and I was making a lot of grilled cheese sandwiches, and then I evolved onto a grilled ham and cheese. And this is kind of a little bit like a Cuban sandwich, but it's basically like the sandwich that I made at home and was enjoying and was tweeting about and posting on my Instagram was a grilled ham and cheese, but it also had some pickles on it, and it had Duke's mayonnaise, and it had Coleman's mustard. And this really the thing that really makes it transcendent is the Coleman's mustard, which is like my favorite condiment discovery of the past couple of years. It's obviously been around for 100 years, but I didn't know about it. So anyway, you put all that stuff together on the sandwich, and it was just so delicious. Also so gooey and creamy inside with both the mayonnaise and the cheese, but the pickles, et cetera. So one of our local food carts, in fact, one of the best ones that's also kind of gained a lot of prominence, decided, asked me if they could make it and start selling it. And then the guy, Justin Hintz, who runs it, had the genius idea of making it a steamed ham sandwich by adding this component where the ham was steamed. So you also got that whole steamed hams thing, which I've become famous for. So it was sold as the Bill Oakley steamed ham sandwich. And it was only sold for one weekend last year and then one day this year. And apparently it was very successful. I gathered that it was the biggest day of the year for that place both times. And it was delicious. I went over there. And like, you know, the whole, if you can tack it onto the whole steamed hams thing and have it gets a lot of prominence among Simpsons fans. So it was delicious, and that's my sandwich. The anybody who wants the recipe, you can send me a message on Twitter or Instagram, and I'll send it to you.
That sounds absolutely delicious.
I'm going to be the first to send you that DM for the recipe. So
please do. I'm happy to spread the joy with that. Also, because you can't get it, like, unless you live in Portland and you come on that one day of the year, you can't get it anywhere. And also, I like to turn on people to Coleman's mustard because it's such a weird. It's like, you know, have you had it? You know what it is, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's like yellow, but a little bit sweet and very horseradishy, right?
Very spicy.
Is that the one I'm thinking of?
No, it's more. It tastes actually a lot like Chinese hot mustard.
Yes, like Chinese hot mustard, exactly.
But it's real hot, and like, I mean, for mustard, and it's like, it just, but it has this certain level of richness that you don't get from any other mustard. That, so that's what kind of gives that sandwich its notoriety.
I've also never had Duke's mayonnaise. We tried to get Duke's shipped, but it was during the summer and it had all like separated in the shipping
heat. Oh man, it's so good.
I've never had it.
It's hard to get outside this, you know, and they take it for granted in the South, and they don't just have the Duke's mayonnaise, but they got like Duke's tartar sauce and Duke's salad spread. And, like, they got 20 different, the Duke's has 20 different things, and you never see them anywhere outside of the South. So some of my Instagram people have been sending it to me. And it's so good. And like, it's, you know, people like that Kewpie mayonnaise. You guys like that Kewpie mayonnaise, right? Mm-hmm. To me, that is, it's very good, but it's a little eggy. It has a little bit of taste of an egg yolk in it, whereas Duke's does not have that. Duke's is incredibly, it's the same quality, but it's so creamy. It tastes like it's miraculously creamy. So I recommend you try it if you can. I mean, it's like all professionally made mayonnaise is pretty good, I think. Lots of people hate mayonnaise, by the way.
Agreed.
But they, like, you know, Hellman's and Best Foods are all, I would say those are all 90s, but Duke's is a 100. Like, it's just that much better.
I'm sold. I need to get on it.
We got to get some Duke's shipped.
We got at @FishFireCat. Pickles covered in cream cheese wrapped in turkey or ham is real good. This was like a staple low carb snack as a child, which is funny because I was also eating Big Carl's in a sauna at that time. Yeah, this is like, for all you keto heads out there, just covering pickles in cheese and wrapping it in ham as if it were a tortilla. That's a burrito in my book.
Yeah, this sounds like something you do at 3 a.m. when you've just lost all hope, aka I'm used to it.
But it's also pretty healthy. I mean, like, that's like, I've seen that. I've never tried that, but I've seen it in a lot of things that are like, here's a healthy snack that you can make quickly. You know, it's always in like these diet things.
Yeah. Just wrap everything in processed meat. Call it healthy.
Right. Well, it's not extremely healthy, but it's healthier than having a sandwich with a lot of mayonnaise on it.
Fair. How do you feel about dipping fries in your Frosty?
I have never done it. It doesn't sound appealing to me.
I love it.
I heard people say it's good, though.
It's very good. I'm a big fan. I like the salty and the sweet and the creamy and the crunchy. It all makes sense to me.
The thing about it is when I go to fast food, I don't usually get fries or a milkshake. I want to have an extra hamburger. That's like, for the same amount of calories, I'd rather have another hamburger than having the fries or the shake. And I do that almost every time. Like, and also, I only want fries if I'm going to eat there at the restaurant, because within 5 minutes, they're going to be crappy. So, I, you know, that's kind of my standard go-to.
I have gotten in fights with significant others because I insist on eating at the fast food restaurant. And they're like, no, take it home. I'm like, those 8 minutes are where the quality deteriorates 90%. It's not fair. I would like to eat this in the Taco Bell.
That is the gospel, what you're saying. That is so true. And this, unfortunately, we live in this pandemic era where you got to get, a lot of people are getting fast food delivered. The vast majority of it doesn't hold up. And like, I had, like, if they're only delivering it like a block away from the Taco Bell, fine. But like, the Taco Bell that I had delivered took like 45 minutes to get here, and it was so nauseating. I didn't want to eat Taco Bell again for 6 months. And I like Taco Bell. So like, it's, you're so right. It can't be delivered fast. Some food holds up better than others, but like, Taco Bell did not.
Yeah, the Crunchwrap Supreme turns into a Wrap Supreme in about 4 minutes. Once that tostada, it gets absorbed by all the other foods in it, and the tostada is literally non-existent after 4 minutes. You got to eat there. And I even have a system for which items, like, you eat first. You have to go to crunchiest to softest from, like, most likely to lose heat. So if you have an item that is fully sealed, like a burrito, the quesarito is the best example because it is fully sealed and there is liquid cheese in there, which, as everyone knows, retains heat very well. And so you save that for the end. It's still going to be hot. And people don't get this, which is why I guess my relationships didn't work out.
That's very wise. I totally agree with you. Like, as we said, you know, some, I would get McDonald's cheeseburgers delivered and then put them in the fridge and microwave one and have one every hour for the whole day. There you go.
Well,
that's like the best. That would be good. Like, but some food just is not worth it for the delivery.
No. All right. And on that note, Bill, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find more of your famous fast food opinions?
My Instagram. It is @BillOakley. DHATBILLOAKLEY. I put up those videos fairly frequently, although I said they've been declining a bit in frequency due to the pandemic, but I do put new content on my Instagram story almost every day. Sometimes it's fast food, sometimes it's snack food, or stuff from people send me from all over the world. That's what I'd like everybody to go to is my Instagram and follow me, and then we can have lots of fun interactions. I hope.
For real, everyone go follow Bill, have fun interactions with him. It really is such an entertaining and also like informative and genuine Instagram page. I love it so much. And thank you so much for listening to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. We got new episodes for you every Wednesday.
If you want to be featured on Opinions Are Like Casseroles, you can hit us up on Twitter @MythicalChef or @NHendizade with the #OpinionCasserole.
And for more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on YouTube where we launch new videos every week.
And of course, if you want to share pics of your dishes, hit us up on Instagram @MythicalKitchen. See you next time. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Bye-bye.